listening to Rage Quit Radio with Mike Brown, Rich Morrow, Dennis Lee, and Nathan Starwell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of Rage Quit Radio. This is Mike.
Nathan.
Chris.
And we are joined by...
Evan.
Yeah, this is not Rage Quit Recon or... Rage Fit Recon.
It was Rage Fit Requit.
Or, yeah, yes. It's none of the above this week.
Anyways.
Folks, this week we have got another fairly interesting little topic that was, I think it was Coop that screamed it from across the room at one point when we were trying to figure out what to talk about this week. And that is our favorite universally crappy model. We're not talking about the model itself as a bad sculpt or something. These are models that are reviled by players around the world in this game, and yet we actually like them. I'm fairly certain that everyone here has their favorite turd that they like to try and polish from time to time. So it should prove to be an interesting discussion. But one other thing here... We saw this before we started recording, and Evan thought that we should discuss Tony.Chopper, who is... this is a Figure Arts Zero that Chris, our favorite penguin, has just picked up. If you don't know out there, folks, what a Figure Arts Zero is, and you probably don't, it is a line of collector's statues related to different anime and live-action shows from Japan, and... This particular character comes from One Piece.
He's the reindeer dude.
Yeah, he's the reindeer dude.
I have never watched One Piece. I've resisted every opportunity to
It's for the best.
No, that's crap. It's a good anime. Look, the character I have here is a reindeer that ate the human fruit, so it actually gained human capabilities, able to think, able to turn into a human, and such that.
You lost me at human fruit.
So what? Like the
that's how they named the
that's
fruit.
The concept behind the show is that there's various like magical fruit, and if you eat one of the magical fruit, you get magical powers.
Okay, I'm having flashbacks to when I worked at a comic book shop in high school and was forced to watch all of Ranma One Half.
Ranma One Half, on a certain level actually makes a degree of sense. It's rooted in Chinese mythology.
That's true.
I love Ranma One Half. Unironically, I love it. I will defend Ranma One Half.
Yeah. See, I was not. I was made to watch it against my will.
Don't worry about it, Coop.
My boss would come in, put it on the work TV, and just let it run. And if I tried to change it, he would come back in and put it back on. And so I dealt with that for like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Like, Ranma One Half makes you examine parts of yourself. if at any point do you find female Ranma attractive, you have to examine your life. And that's what I enjoy about the show, is that if you try to put too much thought into it, you're like, wait, hang on.
So are you trying to say that, like, if you look at P-Chan and you think, I really would like a ham sandwich right now, that you might be a closet cannibal?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, God.
Ranma One Half is, like, it's got, like, piles of just hilarious, secondary characters. Like, I love... Ryoga, the guy who has like the worst sense of direction.
I love
P-Chan. He becomes the pig.
Yeah, I love Ryoga. I love.
Oh God, I can't remember.
Nihal Ranma. What's her name?
Shampoo.
I love Shampoo. Shampoo's funny.
Who's the guy that's in love with female Ranmas? He's the Kendo ace.
Oh,
I can't remember his name now.
Oh, I can't remember either. No, it's been too long.
He has the batshit bonkers sister who hates female Ranma. And they have like I only remember this episode because it was so ridiculous to me. They have like this rhythmic gymnastics showdown that is in an exploding wrestling ring.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, basically everything becomes a martial arts showdown.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it's so...
I did own the first five seasons. I've been slowly selling them all to Chris, who's got season 6 and 7, which I've never seen, but I intend to. But yeah, like I said, that show, you know, has, you know, some albeit loose grip on reality. This, oh, on the other hand,
we need to drown our podcast in the ancient Chinese spring of the good podcast. So,
and now that we have recovered from our trip to Junsinkyo, and we have had the water splashed upon us to make us a real podcast again, we are on to our actual subject this week, which is models we love, but are just universally reviled. I am notorious around here, and Nathan has occasionally quoted this phrase on this show, for saying, Privateer Press doesn't make paperweights. Every model in the game has a purpose, it's just a matter of finding it. And everything is balanced, usually, you know, several cycles ahead. So just because it looks bad now doesn't mean it's going to look bad when the next book comes out. And Coop yelled this topic idea out when we were trying to figure out something to talk about this week. And I have kind of latched onto it for a very simple reason. Because I remember on one of the Rage Quit shows, Fish immediately dogging the fact that there was a Gunmage Captain Adept in Crispy's list. And I actually like the Gunmage Captain Adept. He's not bad. He's put out of work by about three other models. You know, not every mercenary solo that ever lived, contrary to popular belief. But I mean,
but like, if you compare him to somebody like Kale Baylock,
I like him. I like him a lot in Ashland's tier list.
But you see, you can't play. Signar can't take Kale Baylock.
I'm just saying.
You can't compare him to Kale Baylock.
But Kale, compare him to one of the other sniper solos.
Well, like, you compare him to Alton Ashley.
Right. Alton Ashley's got a PAL 14 gun.
Alton Ashley's also, you know,
he's much better against Hordes. Yeah. But he's got a PAL 14 gun. It's like ranged a bunch too, right?
Alton Ashley is one of the few models that
it's range 14.
I don't like the skull.
14 PAL 12.
PAL 12.
That's, yeah. But still, I mean, it shoots him downtown.
I mean,
yeah.
He's, if you compare him to like Taran De La Rovici, that's one of the ones that gets thrown up.
Yeah.
Who, you know, the fact that she has two guns and is a gun mage with wounds and so on. If you compare him to Harlan Versch, who has potentially four shots.
Yeah, and also gun spells
and
purgation.
And blessed and purgation. You know, if you compare him to Alton Ashley, who is just a very long-range gun, you know, all of those guys have something on him. All of them are also characters.
Right.
Whereas when you've got the gun mage captain, I mean, he is defense 15, armor
11.
Does he
do anything for the gun mages?
He doesn't.
I guess that's the biggest problem.
I think some people may think of that as the biggest problem. But, yeah. I mean, he is AD. I guess if he does do anything, he is a commander.
Yeah.
So you can kind of keep him hanging out around him. He is, you know, speed 6. He's rat 8, which is one better than the gun mages.
Yeah.
He's def 15, armor 11, which is even up with the, which is even up with the regular gun mages, 15, 11. And he does have, I think this is the thing that probably, if something bugs me about him, it's that he doesn't have true sight like the gun mage officer has. He has arcane precision.
So he can't move.
He's got to stand still to shoot stealth. But if he is standing still to shoot stealth, he is rat 10.
Yeah.
So he probably hit it.
Yeah.
But then you've got, he has snipe, which is standard procedure gun mage rune shot. His other two rune shots, though, he has just plain old brutal damage. And he has Phantom Seeker, which is something Signar never gets.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's bad. I think I think most people's complaint with him is that he's a scalpel, and Signar has so many scalpels.
Right, with the entire army's a scalpel.
Yeah, and so he's just kind of, he's, you know, 2 points that you could put elsewhere when you already have a lot of scalpels. I think the one place where he is really does shine, and it's not really Signar, but is Ashlyn's tier list, because she doesn't have access to those scalpels, and sticking him in there, he can really do some fun stuff.
Where I use him is generally in Theme Forces. I use him with Ashlyn, and I use him with Kane 1. Kane 1 because you don't really get much of another choice for a solo.
I mean, one day they might do kind of like what they did with the Cassius tier list that they put into a quarter, where they gave Black Clad Wayfarers like Ambush or something like that. And if like this guy,
if he had Ambush, he'd be silly.
Yeah, if this guy gets something like Ambush, he'd be awesome.
Well, he's got, he has AD. He already has AD, so. Yeah. I could see them, like, if you gave him in some other tier list, like if they gave him Run and Gun, where he gets sprint after he kills something with a range attack, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be really cool. That would put him in a different role. But it's one of those things where if I'm taking Taren, then Taren winds up in a predominant gun line with lots of snipers. She's there to for whatever is going to get rid of whatever I need to make a invisible. Colossal invisible.
Yeah.
Then if I'm taking Harlan Versh, he's in whatever list is there to deal with upkeep hate. You know, he's the upkeep hate guy. Alton Ashley, if I play him,
right? Which I don't think I've seen Alton Ashley on a board.
Yeah, well, I've played him, but he's not standard operating procedure for me. If I play him, it's because I'm expecting a lot of hordes.
Yeah.
I think the Adept has a place in something like, say, like potentially Darius lists, where it's largely jack heavy and has no scalpels. Say, even some striker builds that are predominantly melee, where, again, you have no scalpels. You have lots and lots of knights, but you have no scalpels. That's actually why I don't think it was terrible in Crispy's list. It was Crispy, but that's no reflection on the Gunmage Captain.
I mean, how good is he at hitting Eris? I mean, in like any model that can actually pick out Eris.
He's rat 8 if he stands still, he's rat 10.
Yeah. And he's going to have to stand still to shoot her anyway.
Yeah, for stealth. So he'll stand still to shoot her, but...
And he doesn't... Like, Pal 10 will still kill her.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
But if she's within 10 inches, he can just go, brittle, blam. Done.
But so, the snipe, I think, is pretty important because you can kind of use him as like anti Eris tech.
You can,
so
and
outside, I mean, like storm pods and all that shit is really good against Eris too. But I'm just
On a random side note, I really hope that they may never do this, but I would really love to see a Lely's duelist unit.
Okay.
It would be interesting.
I mean, that's from a fluff standpoint, the Lely's duelist thing is so huge, and they only really represent that in...
With Ashlyn.
And they talk about it, like, if you read the fluff, they talk about the Lely's duelist culture and all that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fanboy for Lely.
The captain, like I said, that's one of my favorites. What's some other people here got?
Personally, I've seen a lot of hate for Fiona the Black.
I think she's awesome.
Not on this show.
Not on the show, but realistically, a lot of people tend to mistake what she doesn't have when she really does. A lot of people I've discussed with are like, she needs Dark Node. She can make one.
Yeah. she's like one of the few mercenary casters that can actually have
a Dark Node. She has spells nobody else has, you know.
Yeah, she's like three spells that like nobody else
has. Most of her spell list.
It's all the Thamrite stuff.
Yeah.
They need more Thamrite stuff as well.
Which would be great for her, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, even with the stuff she had, I put her with my pirate list, and suddenly my pirates become heavily survivable.
Her feat is like one of the most unfun things to play against in the game.
I mean, I've noticed, I think she's one of those casters that for a really long time people... saw her, and her rule set's different, and she plays very different, and she's got kind of an interesting learning curve, so people just kind of are like, yeah, she's crap. But I've noticed, and it might just be the podcast I listen to and the forums that I'm on, but I feel like she's on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are, like, with Galleon and a few things, people are starting to kind of pay more attention to mercs in general, and are actually, people are starting, besides, like, the few random outliers like myself, and Chris, who've actually dedicated some time to Fiona, the general population is starting to kind of take notice of her just a little bit.
I mean, you have her spare list up there.
I actually pulled her up here. It's because we've said this on the podcast before when we talked about Fiona on one episode, where this is a caster where Chris played Rich. Rich has this encyclopedic-like knowledge of 98% of the game. She's in the 2%. Where Chris is playing with Fiona, and Rich actually says, can I see your spell card? I mean, the epiphany is... Because if you look at Pirates, Shay is kind of the poster boy, because he's the leader of the Pirates. And then you've got Bart, and when the Galleon dropped, then Bart suddenly became new hotness. And then you've got Fiona, who's like, you know, the redheaded stepchild of the Pirates. But... if you look at her, like you said, she makes her own arc node. Your mm-hmm. pirates are stupid survival because you pick who dies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she is a really good mercenary attrition caster.
Yeah, I mean, really what she needs, and it's not even something she needs, what would be great for her would be more Thamorite stuff. Like, if you had some sort of Thamorite unit that you could, like, sack onto and just, for the cultist thing, and just dogpile in around her, and just, because you can use pirates for that, but then you're not shoving your pirates in melee. But I feel like if there was a Thamorite equivalent to Precursor Knights, not even the same kind of shield wall thing, but just some more Thamorites would really be helpful for her.
The thing I like about her is that she's got a lot of answers.
She does.
Like, you look at, like, a spell like Affliction, and that's, like, a perfect Black Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, she's great.
I mean, Affliction, I cast that constantly on things I need to die.
She's got the no-no touch.
Yep.
Where
no-no crime, Brand.
Where you get magical weapon, and then that's awesome, too. There's a lot of
stuff. Yeah, but see, no-no crime, Brand, the other thing about that is not only do you get magic weapons, but whoever has it can actually shoot through other models.
Yeah, it's really good with the Nis Hunters.
Yeah.
It's really good with long gunners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with Chris's list, it's press gang up front to absorb, you know, whatever beats are coming. Press gang pirate package in the middle with Roth's Mercy on them, where he gets to pick who dies.
They get the Aaron ability, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a super version of it.
And then back here is the Nis Hunters with the no-no touch.
Yeah.
And they're just like, and dead, and dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Influence is a really silly spell, too.
I love Influence.
The funny thing is on there, that's like the one spell you don't use.
I've used it multiple times.
Influence is really good against medium-based infantry.
Oh, sure.
Because, like, it's just very effective to make, like, those Weapon Master dudes hit each other.
But what I've always found, at least when I've seen Chris play with his version of Fiona's list, with the Arcanode spell, which I don't remember the name of,
Telgash Mark.
With Telgash's Mark, he'll drop that on something, and it's as if he's saying, "You kill this next."
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then
I'm gonna
there's
the shit out of you. Yeah, yeah.
And here comes nukes and influence and whatever else. So, or if you ever just want to have a really bad day, watch Affliction get on a Warcaster.
Which I've done multiple times.
So. I mean, but she is a wonderful, and then of course her feet. You got War Room sitting there.
Yeah.
Mate.
So her feet is enemy. If they're in her control area, enemy models lose or roll one less die when making attack and damage rolls.
Yeah.
So I mean, just any feat that like modifies the number of dice that you roll is typically going to be good.
Yeah.
Because the more dice that you take out of the game is typically better.
Oh
for
yeah.
You,
so it forces you to boost.
Yeah.
Where you could have bought more attacks.
Yeah. I mean, it can make, if you've been able to put a beating on some warjacks, it makes those jacks useless.
Yeah.
If you've been able to put a beating on a beast, it can make that beast useless, where it's like, well, I can boost and get
one die. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sick versus models that can't boost. Yeah. Like, against regular infantry, it's just stupid. Like, if they're fixing a chart, like, if you know you're getting charged and you pop that feat, it's just so brutal.
It's like, can you boost it anyway? No. Can hit a 13? No. All right.
Yep.
That's it.
I mean, and if you look at it, I mean, the thing is, her melee weapon has Blessed and Grievous Wounds, and that's a trap.
Yes. No, I agree with that.
She does not want to be in melee.
No.
I've killed another caster with her in melee before.
I mean, I'm hoping there was nothing else on the table between the two of you.
Well, there was one time where me and Mike did a game where it was Thamrite versus the Morrowind. And Constance Blaze versus Fiona, which was an awesome game, because I had one pirate who just wouldn't die, which was pissing him off for like 3 turns.
He says it was an awesome game. Any game where I'm playing Connie B is not an awesome game, definition.
That game was fair.
I like
and balanced.
Connie B.
I agree with that statement, with Mike's statement.
That is BS, because that game actually was fairly even up to the end where... We're literally getting down to the wire where I have to literally dedicate Fiona to start killing some dudes. There's like nothing else I can do.
I like Connie B. I like what, but I have a reputation for liking casters that everyone else says is terrible.
I don't say she's terrible. I don't like playing her.
Fair enough.
I'm not a fan of her.
I like her.
I played her in that team tournament.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, it was
you and Richard's team tournament was special.
We should have played
factions that you normally play.
Yeah, we, I mean, we joked about Butcher 3 Raven, but we should have played that.
You
and we should have, and we should have also played. We should have played Zal. We should have played Zal like Jarl or something like that, and so that we could have the Kovas with a dire Earthborn.
Why Jarl? Why not Kalandra?
Because Jarl, his feet isn't like faction specific.
It just creates clouds.
And he also can quicken, and quicken goes on like a friendly model, and it doesn't have to go on whatever. So we could like quicken something that's not stupid, that's not supposed to be quickened.
Fair enough.
I don't know, like bronze bags.
Right. Or, I don't know, like annihilators.
Yeah. That suddenly seems dumb. A quickened bronze back?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, that would be the way you would play Jarl. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The thing is, I played Connie B, and I thought I was going to have, like, a lot of fun with her, and I didn't.
Yeah. It's because and I tried to warn him.
I didn't listen. I didn't listen.
I like Connie B. I don't know.
So what's yours? What's your one of your favorite models that everyone dogs on?
Oh, goodness. It's a pretty long list. I really like... I do like Connie B a lot. I like...
You mentioned one that'll probably drive Rich nuts when he listens to this.
See, I'm going to preface this. I like Zirkova. I made... And I have a reputation for taking casters that are generally considered terrible and really trying to make them work. And I will fully admit that I put... about 10 games in with Zirkova and really tried with her Tornokor tier list and so various things. And
I couldn't quite do it.
I just couldn't quite get her there.
You see, no, I'm eventually going to... I got an Extreme Juggernaut, so I'm eventually going to buy myself Zirkova and see what we can do with some mercs.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I do probably... I really like...
I think we went like a good 10 podcasts without mentioning Zirkova.
Yeah, I mean, so we're due.
I'll just talk about when we talk about Circle next. I'll somehow tie in Zirkova. I'll make a point.
This beast, this beast is really good against Zirkova. Up next, I'm Rage Fit Recon.
You did it again. It's Rage Quit.
Rage Quit. Rage Fit Requit.
Rage Fit.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I actually look at Zirkova, and. I mean, this
she'd
is
be,
my, I,
she'd be like an awesome Signar caster.
Well, this no, she wouldn't.
she'd be
my, this, is, this is my gag with her. Where I say this, if I think she is secretly, yes, we know. So I think secretly
she'd be good as a Legion caster.
She is the. I think
okay
she,
for all that may have not heard because that was kind of soft. Coop just said Sokova would be a great Legion caster, at which.
No.
Why not?
Because everyone's dog on Zirkova is she doesn't have an arc node. That she would be great in a faction that has a cheap-ass arc node.
I think
if
she gets an arc node, she's not, like, brutal.
Spell Martyrs.
But here's...
Right, no, I'm just saying. Even if she gets an arc node, like, let's say she gets, like, a character-specific arc node that you can't, like, it's affinity arc node or something like that. And, like, so other casters can't get it. Even if she gets that... I don't think it breaks the bank with her.
No, what it
doesn't. It makes her... It does make her...
It makes her playable.
Well, honestly, if they eroded her so you could use her relics multiple times. If you basically said you can use a relic whenever you cast a spell. Not a once per thing.
Oh, yeah. So you could say you cast multiples of her spells at like -1 or something like that.
They'll never do that because she has influence. And you can just sit there and go, I will influence everything.
But that would make her playable.
What's wrong? No. What's wrong with influence?
Well, can it reduce past -1?
No,
it can reduce to 0.
I mean,
can it?
Yes, it says reduce the cost of the spell by 1.
Yeah. It can reduce influence to nothing.
She ignores stealth.
I mean, here's the thing that I look at her.
What's the range on her spell?
Where
they're all short range.
Everyone
short, super short.
You see, here's the thing. Everyone sits there and goes, "Well, you look at Haley and Denny, and that's who she gets compared to." A whole lot when I've heard people talk dog on her. My theory is she's actually like the third Haley sister. She just got like thrown into a basket and sent up river or something. I don't know.
It's Haley Red Sun.
But I mean, but the whole thing with her is like I think you would have to take her with Silas.
Yeah, I mean, there's a club on the Kador forums for people specifically who've won with Zerkova without Silas. Because you have Silas is what makes her like Silas makes her functional.
Sure. My contention is always I've never said she's competitive. I've said she's competent.
Yeah, no, I mean, in a non-competitive environment, she's fine. I try to make her work competitively because this is what we primarily play.
Sure.
And that was an exercise in frustration. So I really, for a long time, was a strong standard bearer for Zerkova, but after really putting in the old college try to make her go, I just...
The old battle college try.
I just wasn't... She couldn't do it for me. She couldn't quite get there.
I still think that it can be done. I think it's a hell of an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And it's like any... honestly, it's probably like any list where it has its bad matchups. It's just the bad matchups are going to be really bad, and you're going to have a lot of them.
And her feat is dumb when you stop to think about it.
Her feat is awesome. Like, it's super sweet versus...
There's only one thing they ever said about her feat ruling that I thought was ignorant. There's one ruling in regards to her feat. You lose your initial range attack. You can't run, right? Well, the thing is, you lose your initial range attack... But that means you didn't spend the one rate of fire. So if you buy a ranged attack, then you still get it.
Yeah.
So like a defender would have to spend one focus to get its one ranged attack.
So stupid.
The thing with her, and a lot of people say this, that if you win with Zerkova, you're not winning because of Zerkova. You're winning in spite of Zerkova.
Yeah.
And that's beyond her feet. She just.
I would almost make the same argument about Assyria. Outside of Assyria's feat.
I've played a lot of games against Assyria. I have not been impressed with her.
Yeah, I know. I was like super. Like, if you go back and you listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I remember everybody was super excited about her.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, after her feat turn, you have a liability on the table.
Yeah.
And you got to keep that liability safe. So.
I mean. I think Zerkova's got some really cool stuff to her. You got to have something. You play Circle, you play Rhett.
Oh, well, so I'm actually going to go with Kador here. My favorite model that everybody hates and never gets used is the Decimator.
Okay.
Just pull that up. Pull that.
Oh, you're talking about Buzzsaw Revolver?
Yeah.
No, he's good.
I like this guy a lot. He's got a PAL 15 gun with Raider Fire 2. And he's got a ripsaw that's PAL 18 with sustained attack on it.
He's got beatback on it.
And his gun has beatback on it. And he's like 9 points.
He's good.
I like him a lot. Yeah. But the thing is, I have never seen this jack used.
I've used him a few times. The main reason I started using him was for the last Journeyman League we did. I used the alternate P Butcher battle box, and he's in there. I mean, he is a focus hog, and that's more people's complaint with him. But with Andre nowadays, you can just throw him on Andre, and until the Grolar comes out, you can just like boom, boom, just unload with that big revolver.
Right, and I feel like the Grolar is going to kind of... Well, the PAL 15 gun, he's just going to like put holes in stuff.
He kind of has delusions of being a defender.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he also be good with Zerkova and Watcher, and since she has no useful effect for her focus...
I mean the beatback on the gun with Watcher is actually
if beatback works like the mittens, you may only be able to beatback. Yes, it's during its model combat action. You can't beatback out of activation.
Right.
No, it's not bad.
But I mean I actually love the jack a lot.
Yeah, I love that.
The Ripsaw has sustained attack.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So like that's the problem with jacks is like if they're fighting a high defense target, unlike beasts, where they have like enough initials that they can actually do shit, if I've got three initials at like PAL 18s or whatever for like a feral warpwolf or something like that, or like the Riphorn Satyr, I can boost all of those to hit, and that'll trash a caster. If I'm fighting against like a jack or another heavy target, and I'm using a jack, especially if it's like defense 12, that's like right on the cusp of where if one of your attacks miss, it's real bad, and you don't kill that heavy, and you needed that heavy dead, and then the heavy kills you in return. So the sustained attack, I think, if you boost the first hit, you get a PAL 18, and then the PAL 18 will just put whatever in a hole.
I really like Coven.
Witch Coven?
I love Witch Coven. My best win ratio still to this day is with Witch Coven.
Are y'all talking about Kador or Crix at this point?
Actually, we are talking about Actually, this is something you suggested. This is our favorite crappy models that no one plays.
So what do you got?
We have been joined by Coop.
I'm back to playing Legion again, luckily. but my favorite bad Legion model is the sorceress and Hellion. The one with the 10-inch spray.
It's just your flight dudes charge for free, which I don't think is irrelevant on a Ningilis.
Well, now you have the Nerith.
Yes, yeah.
Does something.
The Hellion is... It should read, "Oops, we screwed you out of a dragoon."
Yeah,
but I mean, it should.
I mean, we still don't have heavy cavalry, so whatever. I mean,
plenty of people don't have heavy cavalry or light cavalry,
mm-hmm.
or any cavalry.
All the words.
I'm really hoping that trolls.
I'm pretty
get...
sure Rhett doesn't have cavalry.
Shh, Rhett has cavalry. I really want trolls to get pygmies for light cav riding some sort of small like.
But the troll cav is actually good.
Oh no, long riders are bonkers. But at one point they said that everybody who has light cav is going to get heavy cav and vice versa.
Right. Well, they said that at least for War Machine.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Suck it, Hordes.
Richie Loftus, who's never appeared on our podcast, but at some point in May, he once said he wanted to see pigs riding pigs. Like, he wanted pygmies riding razor boars, which I found amusing in concept.
The thought is that the models released for what everyone was calling the Trollkin Highwaymen have been official. Where the pictures were released, they were referred to as Trollkin Bandits.
Yeah.
And there's actually two references now in one of the tier lists to Trollkin Bandits and Trollkin Highwaymen. And Highwaymen are people on horses. So people think that the Trollkin Highwaymen are going to be the trolls light cav. And so I'm hoping for, like, pygmies with two guns and bowler hats on some sort of small animal.
I'm in. I mean, he had me at pygmies with two guns. The bowler hats puts it over the top.
that's what I want to see for Trollkin Highwaymen. Little bandit masks, bowler hats, riding on, like, they can be on, like, regular, like, bacon pigs. Not boars, like, pink pigs. Just, like, ride down. Put them on medium bases, light cab on medium, and just go to town. It'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Okay. So...
That's what I want.
You got another one, Chris?
To be honest, not off the top of my head.
Not really.
Are we going for casters as well?
Yeah, we're talking about the game.
Bethane and Belphegor. They are so good, but can't get it to work.
You know, by that token, I would probably put Darius on the list because I love playing Darius. And
you like playing Carlos alone too.
Yeah, but I can actually win with Kara.
Kara's good.
Kara will steal games.
Yeah.
The problem with Kara Sloan and the reason you don't see her competitively is the same reason you don't typically see Kane 2 and Siege in the same pairing, same set of a list. And it's because there's about five Signar casters that all want Reinhold. So if you take one of them, it almost automatically eliminates the other four from the list. So, I mean...
Yeah.
But Darius, I think the only person I've read that managed to get Darius to work is Jay Larson.
Yeah. Well, that list
was... The reigning world champion, I guess we should say at some point.
I mean, but, like, his hardcore list or whatever was really cool. I really liked that list.
Well, he had one, and I've actually toyed around with the Jack loadout he had, where it was Darius, Stormwall, Centurion, Charger.
Yeah.
And Junior's in there, and his whole concept I've really dug, which was you put... I think he had Fortify on the Centurion.
And the Centurion just sits in the zone the whole game.
The Centurion finds a place to park and stays, and it's basically nothing except I'm holding this spot on the board.
He goes, like, armor 23, can't be charged, and he just sits in the zone.
Yep.
And he's like, come get me, bro.
Yeah.
I'll sit here whole game, you're not going
to
kill me.
Yeah. And then you've got the Charger, which gets Arcane Shield to begin with, and that didn't compute in my head. Charger getting Arcane Shield just made no sense.
Right, when you got Stormwall sitting right there.
Yeah, and then I read the concept behind it. He's like, no, you put it on the Charger because suddenly you've got the Charger, it's armor 19, and it's up in their face. If they don't kill it, it's killing things.
Right.
And so it's become harder to kill. And then you've got Darius hanging out near the storm wall just waiting to go, and feet.
Yeah.
So
I was going to play Darius today, but when I got the stuff from Dennis, he did not give me the Darius card. And it made me really sad.
He has some sort of gun.
It's not a bad one.
He's got a wrench, and he's got a crane. Because I remember watching one of the Chain Attack.
He can crane anything, any model, regardless of base size, the exception being Colossal, because it can't be moved outside of his normal movement. He can crane anything, and it's a place effect within 1 inch of his own position. And I have sat there before and annoyed the crap out of people because I played him one day with a Stormstrider. And I deployed him directly in front of the Stormstrider. And on his activation went, and Darius cranes the Stormstrider. And it's like, what? I'm like, they can be placed. Bloop.
The circle one can't, but that one can. Yep.
But it's like, just crane it. Here's an extra 5 inches of movement for this model this turn. So.
Does he have to? Can he move with a crane?
He can move, then crane it's a star action.
Yeah. So you can even put the Stormstrider up first, then Darius walks
in front of it and cranes it up in front of him and gives it an extra 5 inches, actually 7 inches of movement.
Oh man, we should have Darius team for a team tournament with a crane.
Do you want to? We can team up next year.
If Richard doesn't feel like playing next year, we'll definitely.
We'll see.
Wait, we can do it. We can do Darius because there's got to be something hilarious. We could do like the Troll War Wagon.
Yeah,
knockdown shots. Boom!
The Troll War Wagon is by far my favorite.
Oh shit, we could do.
You can go and crane Lil 3.
I was gonna say her.
So they can die faster?
We crane them out of trouble.
Okay, there we go. I was like, why are we craning them?
Yes, they do their stuff. Darius moves in behind.
And then flips them all the way back.
And then Darius dies.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect.
Mission accomplished.
This is a bad plan.
It's a great plan.
No.
At least Darius has 22 boxes.
Yeah. Right.
This is why you guys lost.
I could have sworn it was because they played Connie B and something else.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, they
never got to charge anything.
No.
Played Ostrom and Connie B, which means combined they were playing, like, between them, they were playing 1 1/4 caster.
Ostrom's not that bad.
He's just really short.
That was not meant to be a short joke.
I want to like dwarves. I really do. I really like their models, but they're just too slow.
It drives me crazy. Like when I was doing Crix for the Journeyman League, and I had like a 5-speed heavy. I was like, what? Huh? The heavies can move this slow?
After playing
Circle and Rhett, because all the Rhett heavies are the Rhett has like speed 5.
See, I started
Rhett and Circle and Legion. It's like I didn't know things can move less than 12 inches if it wanted to.
Yeah,
with Pathfinder,
I started the reverse of that. I started with Kator and Trolls.
Yeah,
and then kind of worked up to the faster factions. So for me, it's like, look at this blessed speed.
I sit there and I play when I played Crix the same Journeyman League that Nate did. And it was kind of hilarious because I'm sitting there and discovered the wonders of Denny 1. Because I just remember sitting there going, wow. And suddenly Boomhowler's guns hit things.
Yeah.
But I also learned that influence, while it seems awesome, the influence on Denny is not so much. Because
she's got other shit to do.
Well, no. It's not that. I debuffed his shit so low
that it couldn't
even hit itself.
Oh, that was me. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, no, I was playing someone was playing Trolls is where I remember that happening.
It was like against Warders, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the Warders could not hit other Warders. They had been debuffed that bad. And I'm like, in my head, I was like, this shouldn't happen this way because their defense and their mat are going down by the same amount, but no. It just they're so debuffed they can't kill shit. So I was like, eh.
I'm of the opinion that Denny 1 is probably the best caster in the game.
I like Asphyxius 2.
Not anymore.
I like
Asphyxius 2 is good, but in the meta right now, I would say that P. Denny's better.
There's a lot of folks.
I think there's an argument for Harbinger 2.
Harvey's good. Pete Denny's.
And Morgana, too.
Yeah, Morgana, too, is really good. There's a lot of really good casters, but Pete Denny is just...
She's bonkers.
Bonkers.
She's bonko.
She's the best model that everyone loves.
Then there's... Well, then there's Denny, too, where not careful, she's just going to simply steal the game from you on turn two.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Yeah. Yep.
Well, there's lots of casters like that, though.
I like casters,
She's worse, in my opinion. Yeah.
See, I like casters that can steal the game, but steal the game when, like, everyone else is dead except for them. Not casters who are just like, look, everything's alive and I win.
Yeah.
I like the casters like all
that's,
this
that's
left.
My problem. That's my problem with her is that it's like, okay, so I feat, and because you didn't really understand how the feat worked and you didn't make the adjustments needed on turn one, you lost the game.
See, that's not fun.
That's exactly how E Lilith usually wins her games, which is up. I go and
shot your caster. Sorry,
I go and shoot you six times on top of two,
yeah,
or even top or bottom of one.
I mean, I've played games. See, that's with a lot of sniper casters though, because like,
Lilith
there,
is worse.
She is.
I think she's way worse.
I've said
because
there,
you can't like the stuff that protection against the other normal sniper casters don't
like stealth,
work against
yeah.
her.
It's right. it's like oh, you cast stealth. Cool.
Yeah, whatever.
You'll die.
Yeah,
but I mean, I've done the same thing with Kara.
Yeah,
where I've sat there with Kara and went, okay, you're stealth. That's cute.
Yeah, I'll sit still and
I'm going to stand
shoot
still,
you.
Aim, shoot you in the face, and by the way, I roll four dice for damage. Good game. So, I mean...
Pow.
For the record, Thagrosh can get one-shotted by that shit.
Yeah.
I was on the receiving end of it.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Watched...
I was the one giving it.
We did a mini Who's the Boss, and Chris pulled Kara Sloan playing Circle in a list that had no guns.
Yeah, right.
And was sitting there kind of going, what the fuck? And
well, there's
Arguses.
And then I'm playing Signar.
There's five circle piece that have range attacks.
And he was playing none of them. And then I have
Arguses.
Because like the Arguses don't do damage.
Right. And then I had
and the Winter Argus freezes.
I had double Stormwall and pulled Thagrosh. So which
so
was amusing.
So you just feat one back.
So I could feat one back.
Which I still killed.
And,
two.
Yeah, and he killed two out of the inferred three. And he's like, well, I guess I have line of sight on Thags.
Bang.
And it was literally, it's like, okay, I was doing the math, and Chris is there shaking his head. And this is patented Chris Brown. If you're listening at home, folks, if you ever have the chance to play the one of the hosts of Almost Live at a convention or something, you may be witness to this. He sits there, he's like, there's no way in hell this works. He knows there's no way in hell this works. In his heart of hearts, he knows this is an exercise in futility. And then he rolls the dice, non-committal, no enthusiasm, no hope, no nothing.
Boxcars.
And then it's like sixes for days. And we're sitting there, and I was doing the math, I was like, you have to roll on four dice, you have to roll a 23 to one-shot me. 6-6, 6-5. Like, well,
there you go.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and I'm playing Signar with Thagrosh. I can't transfer this shit.
Nope, just dead.
Damn.
So, just dead.
Oh, because I'm sitting there thinking, I transfer to a Stormwall?
Because no. He was acting as a war caster.
Correct.
Yes.
Which is the boss style.
Which is still, really cool, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's like, I can bring back the Stormwall.
Many
warlocks become stupid when they become war casters.
Well, I did have a Stormwall that had, Dragon Strength or whatever it is on it?
Dragon
was,
Blood?
Dragon Blood.
Plus two armor?
Yeah, which was hilarious. And strength, which was the hilarious part. So... Here, let me walk up to you and drop my hand on you for a PAL 22. we've gotten a somewhat off topic.
Oh, yeah, so back to bad models.
Back to the crappy stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I do love Darius, because Darius does silly things. Darius does the crane. Darius's feat is retarded. You have to kill whatever it is in one go. If you don't, it comes back.
He's really hard to kill.
He is.
For models that aren't Butcher 3.
He's got a gun that no one
really it's like a rocket launcher. It's like AoE 4, yeah, right?
It's like AoE 4. It's the steam lobber. It does considerable damage. Can clear out infantry.
Because I want to say it's like pound 15 or something like that.
I think it's 14.
But it's pretty big.
Yeah. So Chris and Cooper are going to step out and get a game in and such. But with Darius, the and I've won games off of Jackhammer.
Yeah, it's really good with Stormwall.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you can set up the knockdown.
The thing is, it lets you get around stuff you don't think about getting around any other way. For instance, Stormwall, or if you run, not Stormwall, but I was running, one out at the time, I was running a Stormclad and a Lancer with him in a game. And if you bring that against Harbinger, suddenly Harbinger's feat isn't as scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the Lancer some, roughly 7-8 inches away from Harby on Harby's feet turn. I was like, okay, I'm going to allocate one to Stormclad and it runs. And it got run 10 inches up the board and he's like, okay, it takes a pal, whatever. It's like, fine, I'm armor 22. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then he sits there and goes, okay, I was like, check my control area. I'm within 12 inches of the Lancer. I'm going to cast Jackhammer through the Lancer on the Stormclad 5 times. And I'm now going to cut loose the Macy's Day balloon that is Harbinger. And the guy was just sitting there going, what? And I remember him turning around going, I just lost to Darius with Harbinger. And
it would be interesting. It would be interesting to try a Darius list that operates under the same mentality as like the Evaros 2 tier list, where you run just like a bunch of jacks. And they don't know where the threat is coming from, necessarily.
Well, I've seen... I mean, there's a Darius brick list, almost, where the list runs, like, 3 Centurions. And that's, like, your front line. And then Darius is kind of coddled in the middle between a couple of... almost like a couple of Ironclads.
Is sustained attack activation?
I think so.
Okay. Because if sustained attack's not activation, you can, like, fish for a crit with Jackhammer before you actually like throw attacks with the model.
That'd yeah, I'll look, but I do think it's during activation.
That way you're just like initials hit.
Let me pull up a Centurion. Yep, during activation.
Okay. So there you go. That idea goes out the window.
Yeah, but I mean it's I've seen that version of the list, and then I've goofed off with Darius double Stormwall.
I did too.
Yeah. And I actually think that theme force the field
at 50
test,
I think it would be
50
fun.
Is fun.
Yeah, I think you still only play one Stormwall, but I think it would be fun.
Yeah. So
because you need the other models to do shit.
Now
like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I will tell you my favorite game with Darius ever, and it wasn't against Evan, but it was Darius versus the Witch Coven. I did that crap at 100 points, one caster. Don't remember why.
Was that...
That was at Lock and Load.
Okay.
And that was one where the game devolved to a point that the guy left a medium-sized base hole in his line that was just big enough for my hunter to go whoop, whoop, and be within 5 inches of the beach ball portion of the Witch Coven. I was like, huh. Shoot. That's not a small base. We'll shoot that with my hunter.
That guy did something wrong. That's how you lose with the Witch Cavalry.
Yeah.
That game had gone so bad for me up to that point. The game had devolved. I was running Triumph with Darius.
I mean, Jackhammer would be good against Witch Cavalry anyway, because you could run your dudes to base to base and then Jackhammer.
You must protect the ball.
Yeah. This guy, I mean, the game had devolved to a point that I was literally, I had Triumph and Darius almost side by side every turn lobbing AoEs hoping
spraying
they were doing the spray and pray with their AoE attacks, and the front line is just like, just hold them back. Just keep, you don't have to kill the Banes, just don't let them kill you.
It's pretty hilarious.
I love Witch Coven. They make me happy.
What about them? What do you love about the Coven?
They are unique. I mean, you get 4 separate activations into which to cast spells and pop your feet and do all sorts of things. Now, granted, they are delicate, like a beautiful flower that's made of glass that you're carrying around in a windstorm. But if you can protect the beautiful, delicate flower, that beautiful, delicate flower will murder the world. I have gotten 5 bottom of 1 assassinations of Witch Coven.
Good lord.
Because they can come at you, their spell list is nothing but just unexpected shenaniganry. They're like, oh look, there's an obstruction. I don't care. I'm going to charge out of it.
You know, the Stygian Abyss. You land one Stygian Abyss on a caster, and they're done. They're just gone. Like, oh, look, minus three defense. I got four more of these. You're dead. Goodbye. I mean, they're really capable of just doing really surprising, unexpected things. But
they're so fragile.
Die so fast. People look at them and like, well, they have eight boxes apiece, and there's three of them.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, they have eight boxes is a better way to think of them.
Yeah, they have like half the health.
You lose one. Because,
and if the ball takes any damage, you have to basically transfer it.
You can spread it. I mean, they're nine focus, but they're really three focus a pop. You lose one of them, you're down to six focus. Their feat is ridiculous. It says your line of sight is five inches.
At one point, Richard was trying the double Kraken Witch Coven. He was like, I think I want to play this. I think it's good, because you just run your Krakens turn one, and then you pop feet, and they can't do anything about them.
What happened with Richard is I started playing Witch Coven, and Richard was like, why are you playing Witch Coven? Witch Covens are terrible. And then I started to do really well with Witch Coven, and he went,
huh.
And started playing Witch Coven.
You see, looking at casters or stuff that's not from one of my factions, if I played Krix, I would play with, I can't remember her name now, but it's the Morten Ebra.
Yeah. She's really good. Lampson is a big fan.
Yeah, she's really kind of becoming a thing. People are really starting to realize what she can do. Because she can do what is different in Krix. Because there's this thing in Krix where people are like, Krix is such a known entity these days that people are like, this is how you beat Krix. Everyone techs for Krix. That she does something different. And so the normal Krix tech doesn't work against Morten Ebra because they're like, Jax?
Huh? Yeah. It's like, what's this little stalker guy doing? What's he doing over here? How did he get over here? Why is he on my caster? Why is my caster dead?
I love stalkers. Will always have a special place in my heart.
I think we have probably beat this one into the ground at this point. I am curious, since you two are both doing the Rage Quit Recon, pay attention, folks. It may be the only time you hear that title spoken correctly.
My new job is to confuse him whenever he tries to talk about the title with flashcards and various hand gestures.
So the question is, what do our listeners have in store on the next recon, our third installment? I'm putting you on the spot.
We've talked about Morvana.
Yeah, we got Morvana.
And we've talked about
Cro-Mag, probably.
Probably Cro-Mag. Cro-Mag, Grail, and let's see, Cro-Mag, Grail, and one other one.
Kruger 1.
Sure, Kruger 1.
Okay.
There you go.
So there we go. That's what's coming up on the next Rage Quit Recon. The next Rage Quit refit will be, I believe it's Steve-O's troll list, assuming that we can corner Rich and tie him to a chair.
Maybe Steve-O.
Yes, and hopefully Steve-O, because I know he wanted to be here for that one, and hopefully we can record that very soon. But until then, folks, for Coop and our favorite Alaskan Penguin, who are off playing a league game at the moment, I'm Mike.
Nathan.
Evan.
And we'll see you next time on Rage Quit Radio. You've been listening to Rage Quit Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/RQRpodcast. You can visit us online at ragequitradio.blogspot.com. Listen to us on Podomatic, ragequitradio.podomatic.com, or find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can email us at ragequitradiopodcast@gmail.com.